welcome to the Marlena program for the week of May 7th, 2007. We have a very exciting program for you tonight, and we're going to vary it just a bit from what we normally do because this is a celebration for ACB Radio and for the American Council of the Blind. As we bring this show to air, Chrissy Cochran, our managing director of ACB Radio, is now in Nairobi. ACB and ACB Radio in particular are covering the Africa Forum, which is a forum on social inclusion of the blind. And we are just delighted not only to be covering that forum, but to be launching a new stream on ACB Radio called ACB Radio World. Now, due to the magic of the internet and digital recording, if this all works right, I actually have a pre-recorded interview with Chrissy to tell you a little bit about each program, ACB Radio World, and the Africa Forum. And I must tell you, because we are a family here, if I sound a little rattled tonight, it's because just before we went on air, my software crashed. So, phew. Following the interview with Chrissy, we will be joined by a very dear friend, someone who many of you know and who has actually appeared previously on ACB Radio on the Books and Beyond program, and that's my friend and yours, Artis Bazin. But let's first go to the UK/Nairobi and take a listen to Chrissy Cochran. Joining me through the magic of the digital internet is my friend and someone whose name everyone who listens to ACB Radio knows and knows well, Chrissy Cochran. Hello, Chrissy.
Hello, Marlena. Nice to be on the program.
Well, nice to have you, although really, you are somewhere else right now as we hear this, are you not?
Well, through the magic of recorded nonsense, I am at the moment in Nairobi. This is pre-recorded, by the way. I haven't got set up in Nairobi yet. I leave tomorrow on the trip. So through the magic of recording, here I am in two places at once.
That's right. As we record this, you're in London. As we listen, you're in Nairobi. I want to talk in a bit about why you are in Nairobi, but before we do that, let's talk about the exciting news that we have to share from ACB Radio, a new stream called ACB Radio World. Tell us all about that, Chrissy. This is really exciting.
Oh, yes, we have a birth, folks, and we programmed it to be born at 06 hours UTC from Nairobi, streaming the Africa Forum on Social Inclusion, and that will be streamed for 4 days, and this is ACB Radio World. What we hope to do on the station, and it will take a while to really get going in full, because we're still getting program people together to do it, is it's going to be a combination of mainstream and interactive. We're going to have music programs on there, and we're going to have talk programs. And the difference is, though, they are going to be in all sorts of foreign languages, whatever we can get, because we want to encourage the blind community throughout the world to participate. So at the moment, we've got the possibility of programs in Mandarin, Chinese, Hebrew, Arabic, Spanish, French, German. I think, Dutch, I mustn't forget Ard. No, he's doing a Dutch program.
Oh, no, no,
so,
don't forget.
And Swedish. So we've got quite a few languages already, and we are not going to forget English either. It's not going to be a foreign language-only service. We're going to have the world, literally. So, and plenty of world music. It's going to be We're going to take programs both recorded and live, which is slightly different to the way interactive works, which takes live programming only. But we are going to encourage people, if they want to record their programs and submit them, half hour, an hour, or whatever, of music of their country, then they are more than welcome.
Well, that's very exciting. Now, this has been a pet project of yours, and certainly of Chris Gray's, ACB president. For how long have you been working on this ACB Radio World Stream?
We've been working on it for about 9 months, all told, I suppose, off and on. We've had slight delays due to the new server coming on stream, which it now has, and which has enabled us to do this. It's going to be a high-quality stream, too, by the way, folks. It's going to be at 128 or 96, depending on what people are able to do. But it ain't going to be any lower than that. So it's going to be 44.1 kilohertz, 96 or 128 where possible. So you're going to get good quality stereo, you're going to get good world music, good programming, and we're hoping to get program from other blind organizations throughout the world. So as I say, it will be a mixture of mainstream and interactive.
If anyone is interested in supplying programming, how might they contact you?
Ah, they may contact me preferably in English, because my language skills, though tolerable, aren't good for reading foreign languages. So if they can reply, if they can write to me, let's get it right. If they can write to me at support@acbradio.org and let me know what type of program they would like to do, whether they would like it live, and in which case we would arrange an audition, or pre-recorded, and what language, then I would be delighted to receive these. I really would, actually. We are encouraging all to participate.
Well, that's very exciting. And again, that's support@acbradio.org. Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about this Africa Forum on Social Inclusion. What do you know about that at this point? I realize you're not yet there, but how long is it? Where is it? And what do you expect that we might be hearing on ACB Radio World as you cover the forum?
Well, this is slightly up in the air in a way, and I'll tell you for why. Because what it is, basically, it's a forum. It's not a convention, so it doesn't work quite the same way as the ACB affiliate conventions. And the forum will be split into various workshops, for the want of a better word, and they'll all come together in the morning. It'll be mainly in the morning, apparently. So I am told they're mainly morning sessions. But we are only able, obviously, to stream one stream. And I have said to them, look, I can only stream from the main conference room, which is where they have live internet. The problem with that, and they are going to have to decide this rather than me, is that in a few cases they split the room into two. So they will have to decide which is the best thing to stream. As I say, we can only stream one. But it's basically going to cover how the blind are seen in Africa, what can be done for the blind in Africa in all ways, from contact through the internet to just bringing their lives better, because there is a huge amount of prejudice. You talk of discrimination. Well, the disabled and the blind in parts of the world, rather like Africa and in China and places like that, there is huge discrimination, and this must be dealt with. And this forum has been arranged by the Perkins School for the Blind and Sight Savers in the UK. I think the RNIB has a bit of input into this, and various organisations in Africa. They've all come together, and they're coming together in Nairobi from May the 7th to the 10th for this conference. And we're hoping not only to get the main speeches, but also interviews with key participants within the forum.
Well, that is a wonderful avenue through which to bring to life the ACB Radio World Stream. And we will be listening. That is going to be 11 p.m. in the West in North America, and 2 a.m. in the east in North America. But now, will we run this all day? In other words, after the live streaming, will it replay again, do you know?
We are hoping to do that. It rather depends on whether we get our automated system on the new server into exactly the right shape that we want. That is down to our technical director, Mr. Shang, who is in Israel, which is great because he's on the same time as Nairobi. He said it'll make life a lot easier than when he was in Australia, believe me. But he seems to think that we will have it ready for replays. If not, what I will do is, there may be a bit of a gap, but I'll put the files up onto the server so that just the moment it's playing fillers, and I will make sure that it doesn't do that. It plays the replay instead. So hopefully, yes, there will be replays.
Well, that really is exciting. And remember, folks, you can download the new and improved and super-duper wonderful ACB radio tuner thanks to our web team and Matt Campbell, who worked together to improve the tuner, and some other folks who also pitched in and did some tutorials for it, etc. And that tuner will have the world stream as a button, correct?
It does indeed, and also it's available from the ACB Radio webpage. So go take a listen. I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm just sorry that it's going to be at such an inconvenient time in the US.
Well, that's the vagaries of time zones. Chrissy, thank you so much for joining us through the magic of digital recording on the internet. And we wish you a safe, wonderful, and fulfilling journey. And on behalf of ACB Radio, thank you so much for doing this. This is a big job, and yet it raises ACB Radio even higher. It raises the awareness that we exist. And I bet, knowing you as I do, Miss Chrissy, you will find some content providers for the ACB Radio World Stream while there.
Oh, you've rumbled me. Ah, yes, you're absolutely right. I will be looking for some content providers. Believe me, I will. And thank you, Marlena, for allowing me to tell everyone about this new thing. I'm excited about it, I must admit. I probably won't be able to understand half of what's on that station, but hey, that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That'll be a station where they could say whatever they want. As long as it's not in English, we won't know what it is. Chrissy, safe travels, and thank you so much. We look forward to having you back home in the UK soon.
Thanks.
Safe and sound.
Thanks very much, Marlena. I'll let you get on with your normal show now.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
ACB Radio is proud to announce the launch of ACB Radio World. ACB Radio World, bringing the blind together from every corner of the universe. Thank you. ACB Radio World. Where we find our differences through our similarities, and our similarities through our differences. Be a part of it. ACB Radio World is on the air. ACB is proud to bring you the world.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
Wow, what a start to the show. My goodness gracious, I am so excited to bring ACB Radio World to your attention. It's been talked about all week on the ACB Radio Friends List, and I'm deeply honored to have been able to provide a bit of fanfare for the common man, if you will. That was what you heard after the interview with Chrissy. That was, of course, the piece by Leonard Copeland. All right, let's get back to the regular format of the show. Our guest has been very patiently waiting. We're going to bring her in here in just a second. I just want to let you know that if you are listening to this program at any time other than 6 to 7 in the West, 9 to 10 in the East on a Sunday night in North America, that's a very early UTC Monday morning of 1 to 2. If you're hearing this at any time other than that, you're listening to a repeat, so put your feet up and enjoy. If you are listening live, we will be opening the phones in a bit after we chat with artists for a bit. And we will keep artists on beyond the top of the hour since we intruded into her time space with all of our fanfare and interview and so on. And so without any further ado, let me bring in a very good friend to me and to ACB. Ms. Artist Bazin. Hey, artist, do you have cauliflower ear after hearing all that?
No, I had a headset on for part of it, and I just switched to a regular phone now. So.
Ah, there you go. Well, welcome to the Marlena Show.
Well, thank you. I enjoy listening to what I have so far, and I appreciate the ability to be able to share about Ivy, too.
Well, and we'll talk about Ivy in just a minute, but let's kind of introduce people to Artist Bazin so that before we get into Ivy, if some of our listeners may not know who you are and what you do, you are from California, is that right?
Yes, I now live in California.
And you yourself are an entrepreneur?
That's correct.
Now, before you became an entrepreneur, what did you do? What line of work were you in?
Well, actually, I lost my sight at 20, and at that time, I was a bookkeeper receptionist.
Wow.
And then after I lost my sight and went to rehab, I had to decide on a career because I'm not going to say when that was, but
it was just a week ago, right?
But they didn't have the computers for doing accounting and bookkeeping and so forth mm-hmm. at that particular time, so I had to look at other careers.
Now,
I decided to go into food service management, and therefore, that was my first start at entrepreneurship, going through the business enterprise mm-hmm. program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, may I ask you to what you lost your sight? What caused your sight loss?
Sure. I was in a car accident. I was one of the passengers. There were three passengers in a old 1962 Chevy, so no seat belts.
Oh, my.
And I evidently hit my head on the dash, but I was wearing glasses, so it cut through across one of my eyes and caused my optic nerve to sever.
You know, I have interviewed other folks who have lost their sight due to car accidents. Dale Campbell, who does the Cooking in the Dark show here on, well, we air it on ACB Radio. It's also on lots of radio reading service stations, lost his sight in an automobile accident. And while I don't like to dwell on things like this, you know, we do have a fair number of newly blinded people who listen. And so I'm going to ask you what I asked Dale, and that is, when you woke up and you learned, in however you learned it, that you weren't going to see again, what was your reaction, and how did you get from that to where you are now?
Actually, I was very fortunate. Well, you might say unfortunate in the fact that our family had had lots of car accidents, not because we were just bad drivers, but just because of her, you know, happenstance. And I had lost my youngest sister in a car accident just 7 months before my accident.
Oh, my
she
gosh.
Was 12 at the time. Consequently, when I was in the hospital, and, of course, they were telling me they weren't sure if I was going to lose my sight or not. They had to wait a few days, blah, 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 you know how they do. I knew it. I just could sense just by how people were acting and soft-shoeing it, et cetera, that I was not going to get my sight back. But I also knew that my parents were really upset. They were very upset about it. They had told me that when they were called about my accident, they were told I was not going to live through the night.
Oh, my gosh.
And they went there as quickly as they could. And, of course, they sent out prayers to lots of folks and asked for prayers. And they were very glad that I lived. However, I knew that they were so devastated by the thought of my being blind. Consequently, I think that really helped me to look at it from a wholly different perspective than probably some people do when they lose their sight, because I was thinking of them. And I was thinking, hey, you know, I can do this. You know, I'll make it. I'll be fine. You know, let me, you know, check things out, and I can learn new stuff. It's not a big deal. And I don't want to lighten the thought of it. I mean, obviously, there were times when I got bummed out about things. I mean, I was really bummed out how they treated me in the hospital, wanted to feed me. And
oh, dear. Yeah.
You know, and I would go, hey, you know, I can be myself. It's not a big deal. But I think, you know, my thinking about my family helped me adapt quickly to the situation. And within a few weeks, I wanted to start rehab, even though they had told my parents not to let me start for a year or so because I would go through this period of relapse. And I never did, but I still think a lot of it is to do with, you know, my family was very close to me. And, of course, I'd always had a strong faith in God, and I always had a sense that there was somebody with me no matter what happened. And I think that also made a big difference as far as my handling the whole thing.
Well, that's a great story, and I know that it is going to be heard either in our archive or on another radio reading service channel by somebody for whom it's really going to strike home. As I say, we have a lot of newly blind folks who find us and listen. And so I appreciate, I didn't let you know ahead of time. Actually, I didn't know your story. So That's kind of how the show goes. You know, we sort of just, hey, wow, that's, I'm going to ask her this question. So I absolutely appreciate your allowing us to come into your personal life to that extent. Now, when did you find ACB? How long have you been in ACB?
Actually, I found it first right after I lost my sight.
Really?
I went to the Alliance State Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's where I did my rehab, and they were very ACB friendly. In fact, I think when I first started there, I'm not even sure if NFB was started there or not, because I know after I was in my first snack bar in Sioux Falls, I've been there a couple of years, then I noticed the NFB was trying to start an affiliate in South Dakota. Now, I don't know, perhaps they'd been there before, but they just hadn't been very successful. But they invited, you know, all blind people that they knew to go to their sessions and hear about it. But I was already a member of ACB at that point. But I was not, you know, real active. In South Dakota, they didn't have a lot of chapters at that time. It was mostly just their state convention. And so I would go to the state convention while I lived there. And I was there probably about 5 years before Iowa. And then when I moved to Iowa, everyone was NFB that I knew in Des Moines. They didn't have an ACB in Des Moines, Iowa at the time. Yeah. It was all ACB. So NFB. So I joined an NFB chapter there then because, you know, that's how I'd gotten involved in it in Sioux Falls, and ACB was because of friends. And so I got involved with NFB in Des Moines. And I was in it for about 3 years, and then my friends, Sylvester Nimmer and John Taylor, were kicked out of NFB, and I stayed with them, and so we were a non-affiliated group for, I believe it was like 3.5 years. And then Durwood McDaniel and Grant Matt came out and talked to the Iowa affiliate, right now it's called the Iowa Council of the United Blind. At that time it was the United Blind of Iowa. And they came and talked to us and talked us into joining ACB. So then I was back in ACB again in 1984.
Wow, that's a great story. And we are the better for having you in ACB. All right, let's move onward and talk a bit about something that is near and dear to your heart, and that is ivy. Now, I don't mean what grows all over your garden wall, folks. Tell us about ivy. What does ivy stand for, artists?
Okay, the acronym means Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers. And it's actually a group of visually impaired business owners, and it's a lot of different kinds of businesses. I first joined Ivy in 2000 in Louisville when they had a big business expo, and they had just recently published a book on how to create a business, et cetera, and they had some big seminars, and I joined it at that point in time. And I wasn't too involved for a couple of years. I mean, I went to an occasional session here and there, but then I really became involved about 4 years ago. I became much more actively involved, but maybe it's been 5 years. And I found out it was a really neat group. It's not a real large affiliate, but they do some unique activities that other affiliates don't do. So just decided it was a group that I'd like to be more involved with.
Now, when you say independent visually impaired enterprisers, is an enterpriser a business owner? Is it strictly limited to business owners?
Oh, no way. We encourage anyone who's at all interested in learning about businesses, in becoming a business owner, or just interested in being with business owners, is allowed to join. We don't have any restrictions at all. You don't have to be a bona fide business owner to become a member. We do have just a couple, I think, members that aren't current business owners. I think sometimes people always think, well, maybe sometime in the future I'd like to be a business owner. So sometimes if they're working for a company, they might still want to come to our activities just to find out what it's all about, see if they think it's something that they might want to do in the future, or just hear how other people do it.
I do want to allow you to focus in on your business before we conclude our interview tonight, so let's both keep that in our heads. But can you give me an idea of some of the businesses that people own who are members of Ivy?
Sure. We have a couple of people who have internet businesses.
Oh.
In other words, they promote their website for products. Like they might sell products that are for people with vision loss, but they also have products that just might be of interest to other folks.
Mm-hmm.
We have one that's kind of, he has gifts, he has a website with gifts. And another one has a website of gifts and products you want to use yourself. And then we have a massage therapist. We have, of course, Carla. She has her Lingua Learn. She teaches different people of different kinds of languages, and she does also other communication teaching. She's the teacher. We have people who are transcribers, you know, Braille transcriptionists.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
we
uh-huh.
have, just kind of going through the list, a piano tuner. He runs a piano store. We have one that's a technology specialist. He sells all kinds of computers and access technology.
Hmm.
So we have a lot of, you know, different types of businesses. So it's kind of cool. If people really want to check out any of the businesses that we currently have in Ivy, they can go to the Ivy website, which is www.ivie-acb.org. We tried to get ivy.org, but of course that was...
Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But we have a list of members on there, and we have contact information for each of our members and the websites of people that do have current websites. So it's a way to showcase some blind people in their businesses.
Do you have any eBay businesses represented in Ivy? People
people who sell through eBay?
Yeah.
We do not. In fact, that would be kind of cool.
Interesting, yeah.
I think some of us would like to use their services.
Yeah.
I have often thought about selling things on eBay. But
so have I, but I want to talk to somebody who's done it. Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. All right, well, let's move on a little bit, and we'll open the lines here in just a few minutes. But I thank everyone for patiently waiting to talk with the artist. But I do want to give you an opportunity to highlight what Ivy will be doing this year in Minneapolis.
Okay. First of all, we'll be having our breakfast, and that's a combination business meeting, updates, etc. And we always try to have a full breakfast. Most of our members appreciate that versus just having a simple continental breakfast. That's on Monday morning at 7 a.m. and goes until 8:30. And we, of course, anyone that's interested can sign up for that. You don't have to be a member to come to that breakfast. Then we're having programming on Tuesday afternoon. That'll start at 1:30. And we have two speakers lined up. Carla Hayes is going to do a presentation on communication, the seven ways to, she's going to tell you about seven ways to make your communication better, both for business and for your personal life. And then I'm going to speak for the next on the program and tell you about how to make a business successful, teaching you building blocks to having a better business. And then we're going to have an hour entrepreneur roundtable between 3 and 4 o'clock. And that's where anyone who's a business owner, and that can be a wannabe that wants to ask questions, they can share some tips on business ownership, or they can ask a question of other business owners in the group about how they do this and how they do that. And it's a great way to share with other people. We've done the roundtable for a couple of years, and it's always been really a big hit with people that attend. And then from 4:30 to 7, we're going to have a business expo. We didn't have one last year, but we've had one a few times in the past where anyone that wants to sell their products and services can purchase a booth and then put their wares on that booth.
Oh.
The cost of the booth is $10 for members and $25 for non-members for that three-hour period. The plus for people is if they pay their dues of $15, then it costs them $10. So they might as well pay the dues.
That's right. That's a great marketing gimmick.
And, of course, besides, you know, besides having the booth as a member, of course, they get the quarterly publication that Carla Hayes does. She's our publications chair, well, actually the person who does the publication. And it's an audio publication, and she does an excellent job of sharing different business techniques and business tips in that newsletter. And then also it allows you as a member to be on our members-only listserv, which we just started. It's just a new addition for business people to be able to share tips with each other or those interested in learning more. And then, of course, that's besides our website, which we started a year ago.
Sure, sure. Do you find that many folks become interested in and involved in some of the, you know, the pyramid marketing type businesses? And, I mean, not all of them are bad, really. I mean, you know, Amway's been around for forever and ever, and, you know, Avon, and but that seems to me to be something that I see a lot of blind people doing, and I wonder if Ivy has ever looked at those kinds of pyramid schemes and whether they are in fact, you know, successful in the mainstream for people who are blind.
I've known quite a few blind people who have done different networking. Is the term nowadays?
Oh, networking. Oh.
Yeah, they're networking.
Let me be updated. Hang on. Okay, I updated the computer.
Well, there is kind of a difference. A pyramid sometimes gets a bad rap.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It makes it look like the only people that are making money are the people who got other people into it.
Right.
Whereas networking businesses, the people that are signing on are also making money. And sure, they're part of the cost of doing business goes to people who got them into it, but it's primarily the reason you go into it is so you can earn money yourself. And Mary Kay is one of those.
I currently
got involved in a travel company last summer, and that's a networking thing. And there's all kinds of them that are actually good. And I think the reason they've got a rap in the past is because there were some that tried to take advantage of people and sign up as many people as they could, but then wouldn't help them to do better.
Sure.
And now the newer model is where they really help people who sign up. They invite them to seminars. They teach them the ropes. And the person above them is supposed to help them to be able to do their business better, too. And if they don't help them, actually, the person above you can lose that, and it'll go back one row until they find a person that does help them. So it's a much better model than it used to be.
Well, and actually, Gary is in one of these networking businesses, although he isn't very active, but he's yelling from the other room, Amsoil, Amsoil. So that's, I just want to make him stop yelling, so I'll mention it. Let me just let folks know that the line is open. The number to call is 866-666-7926. That's 866-666-7926. 2-6. Okay, so anything else? Now we're up to your expo. Is that it for Ivy? Or?
Yes, that's all of the Ivy programs.
But that's a lot for a small affiliate.
Yeah, we try to just limit it to the breakfast plus one half day, primarily because most of us in Ivy are also in other special interest affiliates, and it's really hard to get people to attend more than that if you're a small affiliate. Of course, if you're a large one like RSVA or GDUI, CCLVI, they can more easily have more days because they have enough members
to sustain that, even if some of them go to something else. Well, and now that this brings up an interesting question. If I'm in the BEP program, the Business Enterprise Program, and I'm in RSVA, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, but I'm a BEP operator, am I considered eligible for Ivy?
Definitely. In fact, we do have two vendors in Ivy.
Now, what do I get from Ivy that is different from what I get from RSVA?
RSVA primarily focuses on the connection between the business enterprise program and the business. So, in other words, most of the programming is concerned with how that program is managed in that state, what the fringe benefits are in that state, how they can improve the BEP program, and how to make sure legislation goes to keeping the BEP program either the way it is or helping it to do better. Whereas Ivy focuses more on the business side of business. So in other words, our two programs are aimed at building the business better. In fact, we've tried to, a number of times, try to get some joint activities between the two groups because we in Ivy and some RSVA members see the things that are the same between the two. And that's why last year we had a birthday party mixer type thing between RSVA and Ivy. That was a joint thing so people could talk with one another. And this year we're actually doing a joint program on Tuesday afternoon. We've invited RSVA members to attend the sessions and the Entrepreneur Roundtable. And we'll see how well that works. It's relatively new. We've tried to do a few mixers in the past, and I think some vendors seem to want to focus more on the BEP thing and don't think it's as important to focus on the business side. Maybe they get enough training in their states or, you know, whatever, and so they feel it's more important to do others. So I don't know. We'll see how many come to the joint session this year.
Yeah, it seems to me there's a bit of a natural marriage there between RSVA and Ivy. So that would be interesting to see that. Let me also ask you your kind of opinion on something. I own and don't own and activate and then let die a business. And right now, actually, Gary owns the business because when I started working for someone else, it's amazing to be hired away from yourself. But when I was working for someone else, I didn't want the business to go away. And so Gary bought it for a dollar. And so he owns the business right now. But nonetheless, when I was actively involved in marketing our business, which is a training business, I was hearing things like, well, it's probably a good idea for someone who's blind to own their own business because it's so difficult for blind people to find jobs. What do you think about that?
I believe that's true. Now, it depends on the individual. If you would like to work in a blindness-related field and you have the proper education, nowadays it mostly requires a master's degree, and you want to work in the blindness field, then you possibly have a better chance of getting a job in that field. However, if you don't want to work in the blindness field, you want to just work for an agency, company, whatever, it's much more difficult to get in there. I know when I moved from Iowa to California. Now it's been about 7.5 years ago. I dropped out of food management and I went into my current business because I'd been doing speaking and writing and coaching on the side for a number of years, and I just decided to venture out in that avenue once I got my master's in teaching. But when I moved, I thought, well, let me apply for a bunch of jobs because I'd really like to try this out on the side, you know, and have a regular income coming in. Well, I'd been self-employed for a number of years, and every employer I went to, I had tons of interviews and sent out scads of applications, well over 100. But the response I kept getting back was either I was overqualified.
Don't you love that one? You're overqualified. Not when I'm hungry, bucko.
I was overqualified because, you know, you wouldn't be satisfied with this. You'd want to move up right away.
Oh, yes, and we know that because we know you so well, Rido. Mm.
And the second thing I kept getting is, well, you've been self-employed for so long. Are you sure you'd be able to work for someone else? And, of course, my answer was, I've always worked well with people. I've worked with a lot of different boards. And, of course, I've had tons of employees, and I've had to work out problems with them, so I didn't seem to think it would be a problem. But it was a good excuse for them not to hire me. And I've heard the same thing from lots of blind people, that they always get some excuse or another why they aren't going to hire them, or they have to wait too long for them to get the ACTX technology, and they need someone right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always some kind of excuse. Where starting your own business is something you can decide to do today, and you could still look for a job on the side if you feel more comfortable having a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
But starting your own business is something you can do immediately, particularly if you've got really good skills in technology. You could become an access technology specialist or a computer trainer, someone that works with kids doing tutoring. There's all kinds of things that you could set up on your own if you have skills. And, of course, if you don't have skills, you can go into one of the networking businesses, Mary Kay, Avon, Arbonne, GT Trends. I mean, I could give you a dozen networking businesses you could start. Now, there's one downside to doing a networking business, of course, is no matter which one you go into, there is a fee to get into. And it depends on the nature of the business. The cheapest one I found is Arbonne, which is $29.95.
And what is Arbonne?
It's similar to Mary Kay, although it has a big component of supplements and vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And also products that are really good for you. My niece is into it right now, and I've been exploring it because I'm a big Mary Kay fan, but they have a limited amount of products. But there are a number of them, so you really have to check them out and see which ones you can afford, because some of them require you to buy a certain amount of products, and sure, you make 50% on them, but you have to buy them up front and sell them, like Mary Kay, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to purchase a minimum of like $200 worth.
And then you get into the whole issue. I mean, and actually maybe you have a technique for this, but you get into the whole issue of, okay, so I just bought all these products. Now I got to find somebody and some time to sit down and organize them so
uh-huh.
I know that I'm selling Marlena mascara and not the lip gloss, because I happen to know they're both in tubes because I've used Mary Kay. So how do you get around that as a blind business owner?
And that's what I had to do when I was selling Mary Kay. I did it for 3 years, and I'd have to mark each box in Braille. But the biggest problem I had wasn't that so much, was the fact that it's hard to know what products to buy
mm-hmm.
because you don't know what people are going to want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many colors, like, say, in the makeup. So you buy 3 main line colors, and then people want different colors. Well, then you have to buy another $200 worth
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. in order to do that, unless you can find another Mary Kay lady. I do know have another friend that sells it, and she would occasionally trade with me.
Yeah, sure.
But,
sure.
you know, then you'd have to the stuff that she wants to trade for.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so what I ended up doing is I would just buy products that I used, and then I would push them, and then people, if they wanted other products, then I would tell them to please let me know a month in advance so that way I could mm-hmm. get another order together. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it was a major issue because I ended up with all this inventory, and I still have inventory yet, and I haven't been doing it for a year and a half.
Well, we'll have to talk. Maybe you've got something I want. I'm a sucker these days for Cookie Lee jewelry. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's great.
And you guys in California, you had those Cookie Lee ladies right next to the
yes.
Pampered Chef ladies.
In fact, I was really broke
when I left. I was broke.
I have a good friend that sells Cookie Lee, and I got
so
involved
I.
in my networking
yeah.
group.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, so there's all kinds of stuff. But like I said, you have to have a way to organize your inventory. So you have stuff, so you know what colors they are, so you know how to explain it to persons. And I dearly love Weekender's products, and I had a dear friend who was selling it, and she was trying to talk me into it, and I said, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable telling someone, okay, this red goes with this.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I just
yeah.
wouldn't feel comfortable because I wouldn't be always positive. Even if somebody else told me, this looks good together.
Yeah.
Because I've been told too many times that something looks good together, and then somebody else will say, oh, that looks terrible.
That really looks crummy. Hey, listen, we have a caller. Let's bring him in. Are you up for staying around a little while? Is that,
sure.
I know. All right.
No problem.
All right, let's bring the caller in. Hi there. You're with Artisan Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena. It's Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Oh, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. I had a couple of comments. One, I've been on one of the mailing lists, one of the blindness-related lists, and there's a gentleman who is very interested in going into his own restaurant business. He's made it quite clear that he does not want to go through the BEP program because he wants to do it, you know, entirely for himself. And
wow.
Are you finding people, restaurateurs, he's thinking of a deli, and it does sound like he's doing his research, looking into equipment, looking into
wow.
accessible cash registers and card readers and yada yadas. And I wonder if he could maybe benefit from at least, you know, if I should give him the information about your site, because he might be interested in Ivy.
Certainly. Certainly. You're more than welcome to. Anybody can check into my website, and I do a lot of business coaching and speaking to different business groups, and I always am willing to give anybody a free consultation for on the phone if they want to, you know, ask specific questions too. I'm always free to talk to people. Now, if they want to talk to me 10 times, of course.
Oh yeah,
no,
free,
one free consult
yeah,
is fine.
Have it quite together in that regard.
But let's not get confused here. Now we haven't gotten yet to what Artis actually does. So the Ivy website, absolutely, that's, you know, anyone can go there, visit it, you know, it sounds like this guy ought to take a look at maybe joining Ivy.
That's what I'm thinking of. Well, the neat thing about the website is when I put it together, I put tons of business links on it. There's a link to the SBA. There's a link to the SCORE, which is the organization that will help business people get set up.
Oh, that's the Senior Corps of Retired Executives?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
He's mentioned consulting with those two organizations.
Right, and they're great. They do a great job. I consulted with them when I first moved out here, and they are wonderful. And they there's also links to websites where you can do taxes for free. There's a link to a business cafe. There's probably about a dozen links on there, and marketing tips, all kinds of things. And so it's a great website. It really tells a lot of information about that.
Wonderful.
And I wasn't trying to promote my business.
No, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to absolutely let you do that. But I didn't want Pam to be confused.
I think I was okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
What about people who maybe know they would like to do something. Again, with the unemployment and the loss of employment among a lot of blind people, there's no silver bullet, I know that. But how does a person sit down and say, I have done this for 25 or 30 years. Now, how do I know what else I can do? I'm sure I can do it, but how do I find out what it is?
What I tell folks all the time is I tell them to evaluate their skills. What are you good at? Are you good at talking on the phone? And you don't see too many other things you're good at, maybe you can run an answering service. Are you good at keeping records? Are you good at your bookkeeper, accountant? You could do that on your own. If you're good at selling, we were just talking about all the different ways you could do selling for selling products of different companies. So you kind of have to first look at your skills. Then you have to decide if you have the aptitude to run a business. To run a business, you really have to be willing to go out there. You have to market yourself, and I find that this is one of the hardest things most people have to do to build their business. In fact, I have problems with it myself when I first was trying to market this business. Because you have to be willing to say, I can do this, this, and this. And a lot of us, well, I think particularly as women, we're taught, hey, you're not supposed to brag about yourself, you know, you're not supposed to make yourself look good, etc. Well, when you are in business, you have to. You have to be willing to share what you've done for other people and how you can solve their problem by doing thus and so. And if you've got the motivation to go out there and do marketing, go to marketing groups. I belong to a business networking group where I get actually 50% or more of my business. And you have to be willing to set aside time to work on your business. You have to say, well, between 9 and 4, 9 and 5, whatever your hours are, I'm going to work on my business. And I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to, you know, visit my friend next door. I'm going to work on my business. Because if you don't motivate yourself to keep busy in your business, you're not going to make it. You have to be focused. And so that's what I tell people up front. And if they don't think that they have the ability to keep themselves motivated and to go out there and constantly meet people and tell them about what they're doing, they're not going to make it.
And finally, if you do not make it in, I know I had experience with a network marketing organization, and the problem I found was, A, they were very negative toward the Internet, which I wasn't expecting. And I, frankly, it was always, you can carry these in your car. And I'm going, guess what? And eventually I just said, you know, there's no way that I can, you know, display these and blah, blah. So I decided, and I didn't want people trooping in and out of our house. We're both blind here. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is, how many times does a person try and, or if one doesn't work, you just go out and find another one and give that away? How many times do you try before you say either, A, I found the right one, or B, this just isn't for me?
Actually, I've tried 4 different networking businesses.
I'm not even talking networking. I'm just in general.
I guess what you have to do is just look at yourself and how willing you are to experiment. I know my main business, of course, I keep at all the time. But sometimes I find my main business doesn't keep me busy enough, so I do some of these other ones as a secondary just to help keep the money coming in. And I guess you have to be willing just to try new things. Even if you have one business, you have to constantly upgrade it, add products, delete products that people aren't interested in, and think of different ways to push the products you have. So it doesn't matter if you're sticking with one or trying out several. You have to be willing to experiment and just have a lot of, what's a nice way of
Flexibility.
That's right. You have to have flexibility.
Or as we say in New York, chutzpah.
That's
chutzpah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, Pam. Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much. Bye-bye. And the telephone number is 866-666-7926. We are talking with Artis Basin. And she is talking with us about Ivy, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, we are back. Again, the phone number is 866-666-7926. Artist, talk to me about your business. I know a little bit about what you do, and I find it fascinating. What is the name of your business?
Name of my business is Basin Communications. And perhaps I should have thought a little bit more about it because I have a lot of people call me thinking communications is telephone, internet. But I based it on the fact that I was an inspirational speaker, business coach, and writer. And so I was thinking more of interpersonal communications. I do a lot of all three. I've written three books so far. Building Blocks to Success series. The first one was for churches, second one for organizations, and the third one for businesses. And they're basically image building type books, teaching the organization that's reading it or the person reading it how to be more positive in the ways they communicate. And that can cover all aspects of the business from starting at to its database collection, to its outreach, to its publicity, to its involvement in the community, to its doing its action plan for the future, marketing, et cetera.
Now, how did you learn all of this? What kind of experience or training did you have that qualified you to write these books?
Okay. First of all, of course, I've been in business for, well, don't want to say how many years, but for a long, long time. But for 30 years. And also, I've been involved with organizations and churches from the time I was a little tot. Everything from 4-H, church youth groups, to women's clubs, Christian women's clubs, et cetera, networking groups. And I could see one of the problems that people had was their PR. And then when I went to college, my BAs are in public relations and speech communications. There I learned even more the fact that having a positive image was more important than actually the publicity you had. If you didn't have a positive image to begin with, didn't matter how much PR you did, it wasn't going to help. And so you had to actually make yourself look more positive in order to get better as far as the church or organization, mm-hmm. business, etc. Mm-hmm. And then I had my master's was in arts and teaching. And of course they learned, they taught you how to do a lot of things, working with groups and working with people, collaboration, relationship building, etc. And that really showed me even more so how important it was. And then when I started this business, I thought, well, I'm just going to start with the inspirational speaking side and do that. After my first year of just, you know, trying to sell my speaking, I found out that 75% of the best speakers, the ones who got the most calls to speak, had products on the side that they were selling. Because people might want to hear you talk, but then they want to have something to take home with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that selling, you know, either taped seminars or selling books, et cetera, would be a good idea. So I decided to write, at first I was going to write a book for churches and organizations. It was going to be a combination book. And then in the middle of it, I was just about finished with it, I had a mild heart attack. And
yes.
it gave me more time to reflect on, okay, well maybe, it was probably a good thing because it made me see and think more about the differences between the two, and I ended up making them two separate books instead, which made them both better because then I could focus on each style and what was different about them. And then, of course, once I finished those two, I thought, you know, I've had a business for forever. What do I know even more about is businesses, you know? So then I looked at it from that aspect. And when I wrote that one, mostly it's not for the corporation-type businesses. It's more for the small business. I do have a lot of employee relationship-type things in there, you know, staff meetings, how to keep people happy as employees, et cetera. But it's more based on, you know, the smaller employees, you know, like the 10 or less probably employees. I mean, not that bigger people couldn't benefit, but they've probably have some different methods would not have explored, you know.
Now, the question begs to be asked when we think about you're writing these books. How on earth did you get them published? I've always heard that's a really difficult thing to do.
Well, I self-published.
Now, what does that mean?
Okay, what that means is I pay to have them published. In other words, I write the book, and then I approach different publishers to see which one I can get the best deal. My first two books I published through a publisher in Chicago, and I had to purchase 500 of each book in order to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my third book, I went to a different publisher where it's a print-on-demand. In other words, I can order like 30 or 50 books, and they'll send them to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just sell them as I sell them, or they can go to their website and purchase them directly from their website and get them that way.
How do you advertise your books?
I advertise them when I go to networking meetings. I also advertise when I speak, and then I also have them on my website. I have my website has a shopping cart, and one thing I determined I was going to do immediately when I decided to write books is that I was going to make them available in accessible formats so that visually impaired people could read them, because I've, you know, always wanted to have books that I wanted to read.
Sure, sure.
And so I have them available in CD, audio CD, audio cassette, as well as a BRF format, so people can download them to a note taker, a Braille note taker.
If I go to your website, first of all, what is your website?
You can do it two ways. You can either go to BazinCommunications.com.
And let's spell Bazin.
B-A-Z-Y-N, and communications is with an S.com. Or you can just go to artistbazin.com.
What am I going to find when I go there?
Okay, I have lots of different links. I have a link that tells about my inspirational speaking. I have a link for organizations, which has a list of questions about marketing for your organization. I have a business link, which has a bunch of questions about your business, marketing your business, and then I have a list for churches, and all of those links are just basic questions, you know, kind of just ask the person reading them to see if, you know, maybe they need to improve it. And then I have a link of free resources, which I have a number of things that people can download for free. I wrote a booklet for the Blind Students of California called A Guide to a Successful College Experience, which is written particularly for students transitioning to college to help them to know what to look for. And I also have lots of membership documents there. I need to update that because I haven't put any on there for the last couple of years, but I have a number of those on there. And I also have manuals for officers of to be officers' manuals for organizations and some other free resources there that people can read on the website. And then I have a shopping cart, which has all of my books listed there that people can purchase offline, you know, online. And I do take credit cards on there through PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they can order them either through PayPal directly, you know, if you have a PayPal account, or you can order them through a credit card.
So I go to your site and I scarf up as much of the free stuff as I need to get. And I get myself started. And then I say, oh my gosh, I need more help. I need to do a business plan. That's the first time I've ever heard of this. What's a business plan? So can I then call you and hire you as a consultant to help me develop things like a business plan?
Yes, you can. Actually, my most requested coaching is goal setting. I do a lot of goal setting for businesses in my networking group. I have a couple people that come to me every couple of months just to set their goals for the next couple of months so that they make sure they get things done. They've found out that it's good to have someone that they have to be accountable to.
So you're kind of like the supervisor, you know?
No, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I was a supervisor doing those management by objective things,
mm-hmm,
you know? And
mm-hmm.
That's kind of what, a little bit like what this sounds like.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I do some PR sessions where people want to know how they can market their business better. And so I'll work with them and how they can improve their networking, what they could do, and different things they could try. And I also have also coached people on writing better, like writing press releases, writing articles, so that they can promote their own business better, or helping people with speaking. I've done a lot of that, too. In fact, I just completed an article on speaking tips, which I sent to the Braille Forum, but I don't know if it'll get in or not. But,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I do a lot of different helps in that way, too. So anything people need, I like to work with people wanting to start a business, but I've only coached a couple of people on starting a business, mostly because, let's face it, people starting a business usually don't have a lot of money and they don't want to have to pay someone to.
Sure.
Help them get started. And I, you know, like I said, I do a free consult one time if people just want some basic advice. I don't mind that at all. It's just that, you know, if they want ongoing, well, then of course, you know, I can't afford to time myself up
sure.
with all freebies, which I do enough of that with volunteering for ACV.
Well, as long as I've known you, you've been a very generous, giving, and a very warm-spirited person. So, you know, I'm sure that you do the maximum you can for someone certainly not everything free, but I'm sure
right,
that you,
right.
you know,
well,
you
and a lot of times, you know, you give a lot of, you know, advice just going out
sure.
to dinner with people,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, it's like a doctor at a cocktail party. You know?
That's right.
Oh, my back hurts. Yeah. Take two aspirin and call me next week. You know. Yeah. Hey, I want before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your travel business and how that can help ACB affiliates.
Oh, sure, sure. I signed up for a travel company last June called GT Trends. And the main reason I signed up for it was because it offered the opportunity that once I took the air travel, they call it being an ADA, which is, you know, being an airline, I can book flights and book hotels and book information through my website. And I was kind of sort of, oh, okay, sounds interesting, until they told me that they had this program where I could offer nonprofits a free website so that they could earn money for their organization. And once I heard that, I thought, oh, well, maybe this is something I do want to get involved with. Because, sure, you know, you sign up and I pay a fee and I have my own travel website, which I can promote and people can book travel on my own website. But to me, that wasn't as much interest to me as promoting the nonprofit part. Because it allows nonprofits to have their own website, their logo gets put on that website, and any one of their members or supporters can go on that website and book a trip. And this can be whether it's a condo in Hawaii, whether it's a package deal, hotel, flight. It can be just a flight alone, etc. Anything they book on that website, 50% of the commission automatically goes to that organization. And I think it's a great deal for an organization because it doesn't cost them anything. The only thing they have to do is promote it. And I've gotten three organizations signed up already with me, and I have even written an article for them that they can put in their newsletter to promote it. And then, of course, if they promote it, if they have a listserv, they can promote it that way. And if they have a general website, they can put their travel link on their website, etc. So the more they promote it and they talk their members into using it, the more money they can make.
Very interesting. Very cool. Well, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay, they can either call me at 818-238-9321 or email me at abazin, and that's A-B-A-Z-Y-N, at bazincommunications.com, and that's also B-A-Z-Y-N, communications with an S, .com. And I would get back to them as soon as I can. And, of course, if you forget the email address, you can go to the website and just hit on one of the email links on my website. And that's through either one of the websites.
Well, Artis, I so appreciate your time. I kept you over time somewhat, but I just think that you have some interesting details to share. And I think listening to you that you are an inspirational speaker for folks who maybe feel that they are at a disadvantage because they have lost their sight or they have always been blind and they aren't employed. And, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, my gosh, from selling candles to selling real estate for blind people to really take control and dare to dream to be successful. And I think that you are an excellent representative of that, and I appreciate your being here.
Well, thank you, Marlena. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the information about Ivy and my business.
Well,
great opportunity.
Well, and good luck with that travel thing, too. And I'm sure we will see you, speaking of travel, in Minneapolis.
Definitely. I'll be there.
Thanks so much, Artis.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you never let me go. Cause I believe in on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I believe in on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Hate to go.
Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
Absolutely. Do give me a call. We're in open forum. Whoops, if I can find the microphone, we are. We are in open forum. It's 866-666-7926. And if you called previously, you may call again. That's because we're in a new section of the show. I want to tell you a little bit about what I've been doing this week, and I'm a little bit tired, actually, and hoping that doesn't reflect too much in the presentation of the program this evening. But what a fabulous weekend I've had working with the Washington Council of the Blind. Every year we do two things. Actually, simultaneously, we multitask out here in Microsoftville, don't you know? But each year around this time, we do two things. One is that the Washington Council of the Blind holds a leadership training seminar, and we make this opportunity available to our members who must apply to come to seminar and talk about what it is they would like to learn, why they would like to come to the leadership training seminar. And we then select a committee of folks, then selects participants. This year we had 16 participants, and it was fascinating to see some of these folks. I did one presentation for leadership this year, which dealt with educating folks about our committees, 18 standing committees and 2 ad hoc committees, and getting folks familiar with the names of the folks on those committees and helping them to make links to those committee folks for committees in which they might be interested. However, the rest of the weekend was all about team building, and the theme was Team WCB. On the Saturday night of the weekend, we have a small banquet for the leadership participants at which they are given certificates of accomplishment and completion, and they are given T-shirts that have the symbology of the theme. And this year, of course, we had a baseball coming off of a bat, and we had a football, and gosh, I'm not sure of everything that was on the shirt, but it's all raised up, and we also have tote bags with the same symbology, again, raised so folks can feel it. The tote bags and the shirts have Braille on them, and it says WCB Leadership 2007, or whatever year it is that you may have participated in this leadership training seminar. Well, this year, at the Saturday banquet, the participants, who were broken into 4 teams, were tasked with coming up with public service announcements that they felt best reflected WCB. And it was fascinating to watch these 4 teams. Some of these folks at the beginning of the weekend, they were pretty introverted. And the beginning of the weekend, by the way, was the night before, I might add. Pretty shy. Some folks didn't know anyone there. One of the rules that we have during leadership training is you don't sit with the same person twice, and you don't sit at the same table twice. So you need to make sure that you are constantly moving around and interacting with other participants. So that went on this weekend. And while that was going on Saturday, Guide Dog Users of Washington State, which now has 50 members, I'm very proud of that, held what we call our Spring Fling. And this year, the focus of the Spring Fling, there were actually 3 main pieces to the Spring Fling in addition to our business meeting. The first piece was a fascinating, absolutely riveting presentation from Sheila Spencer at Guide Dogs for the Blind in Boring, Oregon, who came up to talk with us about the wheelchair guide dog program. I got to tell you, I've been a guide dog handler since 1964. You do the math, you'll come up with 43 years of having a guide dog in my left hand. Okay. I was absolutely bowled over by the things these wheelchair guides are trained to do. One of the particularly fascinating things to me is what Sheila referred to as two-tracking. When the dog is two-tracking, this to me is just amazing. When the dog is two-tracking, it is walking with its back feet in, say, the gutter, you know, on the street side of the curb line, and its front feet on the curb. Now, it can't do this for a really long time, obviously, but if there is a narrow passageway and the dog determines that the width of the wheelchair will fit, but the dog won't, the dog will do this two-tracking thing. And I just think that's amazing. Additionally, Sheila told us that the dogs are also taught to guide while walking backwards, if that's necessary. For example, in a department store where clothing on the rack would narrow the space, the traffic space, to the point where it would preclude the dog and the chair from going through, the dog will go in front of the chair, walk backward. The harness handle can come up over the dog's head, and the dog will guide facing its handler. Just fascinating concepts. The harness handle is shaped completely differently from what those of us who are guide dog users know and love and are accustomed to. Of course, many of you may know that Guide Dogs for the Blind has gone to a pretty revolutionary new harness. At least I think it's revolutionary. It's made in Switzerland. It touches many parts of the dog that were left untouched by the older standard harness. So you can really feel the movement of the dog. I described it as going from being led by a dog on a skateboard to being led by a dog with springs in its feet. I mean, you just feel every movement that the dog makes because the harness actually touches the shoulder areas of the dog. The handle is a bit more flexible. It's much lighter weight, etc. These wheelchair guide dog harnesses are made the same way. They are the Swiss harness. The handle detaches, which it detaches on the mainstream harnesses as well. And that's, by the way, a great thing when I fly. I just reach down, push two buttons, put the harness up, take the handle off and tuck it away. It fits in my carry-on. It's wonderful. But the wheelchair guide dog's harness handle is very offset and to the right, I believe Sheila said. And the reason for this is the dog needs to be out from the chair so that when you make a left turn, you don't run over the dog. So the dog has to be quite a ways out from the chair, but the chair user, and they're only training folks who use power chairs at this point. Not really sure how you could use a manual chair and work the dog. So the chair user keeps her elbow at her side while still allowing the dog to be out a distance from the chair, and that's what the handle is designed to assist with. She also said that one of the really tricky things about wheelchair guide dog work for the handler is you've got to be able to interpret what the dog wants you to do on the left and send that message to the joystick of your power chair, which is on your right. Now you just stop and think about that for a second. You know, that's an awful lot of, you know, it's kind of like learning how to dance, I guess. And once you get it, I guess you get it. But, you know, I still am learning to interpret Agnes, and I mean, we've been together 7 months, and I just can't imagine how much more complicated it would be if I had no feet to see the environment with. You know, how many times do we as dog users stop and feel with our foot? Oh, there's a curb, or oh, there's a sidewalk crack, or well, You can't do that if you're in a wheelchair guide dog team situation. So it's mind-boggling and just absolutely fascinating. The dogs are also taught to ride on lifts with their handler. And what they do is the dogs are taught to put their back feet on the foot plate of the wheelchair and their front feet kind of between the person's knees, and the dog sort of leans its chest up against its person and rides up the lift or down the lift. Now, stop and think about this concept, because there's nothing on either side of most van lifts and bus lifts. And to a dog, that's like, oh my gosh, I know I'm going to fall. Oh my gosh. And yet they're able to train these dogs to do that. So that was a fascinating presentation. And Guide Dog Users actually recorded that, and you may hear it one of these times on ACB Radio. So stay tuned for that. Just fascinating. Another presentation we have a school here in Washington, in Western Washington, not horribly far from where Gary the Board Guy and I live, probably an hour, 45 minutes to an hour away. It's called the Louis Braille School. And the woman who runs the school is just an absolute miracle. She is just so committed to instilling into children who are blind the belief that they can do what they want to do, and the understanding of the critical nature of independence, being as independent as you can possibly be. And she spoke to us. It's a very small school. It has only been in existence now, I think, for a year. And it takes children up to the eighth grade. And right now she has three students. There is a teacher, a teacher's assistant, and let's see, and of course the director, and a couple of other folks who work there. But she told us stories of how people came to visit, blind people came to visit the school with their guide dogs, and how the dogs actually broke the barriers for the kids. And one story that really, really touched me was there was a little girl who, a little boy who was really given no independence. His parents were afraid that he would hurt himself. He wasn't permitted to walk. He scooted everywhere on his bottom. And he just didn't, he had no confidence in himself. When the dog came to visit, he was absolutely terrified of the dog. Screamed and screamed, said, I can't even be in the building with the dog. He was 5 years old. Get that dog out. I can't stay. Get that dog out. I'm terrified. Well, the dog, this particular dog, came back to visit a fair amount. And all of the other children loved the dog. She also runs a Braille camp in the summer, and some of these visits extended with this particular dog into the Braille camp in the summer. So this one little boy was starting to see other children patting the dog and talking to the dog, and he started saying things after a couple of months like, will I pat the dog? Will I pat the dog? And then it turned to, I will pat the dog. I will pat the dog. And then I'm going to pat the dog. And when he was ready, She sat on the floor with him, and by this time she had gotten him walking and using a little white cane. So she took him and sat on the floor with him. And the dog lay still, and she took one hand and put it on the dog's nose. Then she took his other hand and put it on his nose. And she did the same for the ear, the eyes, the face. And that interaction with the dog broke that child's barrier of fear. So it was just a fascinating presentation. She has so many stories. There was one little boy who was angry, so angry about having lost his sight at 8 years old, he wouldn't talk to anyone. He would just have horrible temper tantrums, and he stayed under the table for weeks. And the dog came to visit, and they put the dog under the table with him and left him. And soon he started talking to the dog and having conversations with the dog. And then Carolyn, who is the director of the school, got under the table with the little boy and the dog. And she joined in the conversation with the dog and the little boy. And as a result of that, he began to work through his fear of having lost his sight. I tell you, I love to hear stories like that, because blind children are our future. And if we don't reach out to kids, we're going to be in a world of hurt. So that was kind of a cool session. The third session that we did that was fun is we talked about clicker training. And I won't bore you with all the details of clicker training, particularly if you're not a guide dog user, but it's a wonderful mechanism by which to teach your dog where you want it to go. For example, I found that this particular hotel, it had a couple of offset doors, and I was just having a devil of a time finding those doors. So I targeted the elevator with Agnes. I targeted the elevator with Agnes. Now, the elevator was between one offset hall and one offset door. And I could never find either one. So by Friday night, and I only got there Friday afternoon, by Friday night, Agnes knew, I'll take you to the elevator and I'll stop and wait. And then you can tell me where you want to go, left or right. And we were fine. From then on, we were fine. So we talked about various ways to do the clicker training and what kind of treats to feed your dog as you're using training treats. And I think more and more guide dog schools are starting to use clicker training, which I think it's a very effective method. I really do. It has certainly been effective for Agnes and me.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
And, of course, the line is open, and we'll be with you for another 10 minutes or so. And unless you want to hear me ramble on for 10 minutes, give me a call at 866-666-7926. We will be continuing to feature more ACB convention-related programming throughout May and June, so hang tough and see who's coming on next. But right now, we've got a call. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. It's Sue.
Oh, my gosh, you're losing your voice.
Sorry, I just woke up from my nap.
Oh, my gosh.
I hadn't talked to you for so long, I was missing you.
I know. Let's see, what would I see you? You've made good time getting home.
We did.
Wow. You must have caught a ferry immediately.
We got the 4:30 ferry, and I was actually home by about 5:30, so gave me time to take my naps, and I'm just coming onto the tail end of your show.
Well, I'm jealous. I haven't had my nap yet.
Oh, boy. It was, you know, how it is. Anyway.
Yeah, I know how it is.
You didn't yawn during the show, did you?
No, not yet, but it could come.
So I had a question, because I was just hearing the last of your carol, and do you know if anybody taped that yesterday?
Yes, we did. We did tape it.
Yep. So people could access it later, possibly?
Yeah, yep.
And then I wondered, have you ever thought of having Carolyn on your show?
You know, as I was telling people about that, I was thinking, you know, I ought to have her on my show.
Yeah. She's so great.
Yeah, she is great. And the way she, you know, tells the stories, I mean, you know, she obviously kept a lot of her stories dog-related because of the venue in which she was, but... You know, she just, I mean, her love of Braille and belief in blind people is just fabulous, and she...
It is. I think she'd be a really terrific guest, and I think people would... She just is such a... Oh, what's the word I want? I mean, it's nothing about her.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not for her ego or for anything. She's just a very... is self-effacing the right word, or is it...
Well, she's, I wouldn't say self-effacing as much as I would say she's selfless in all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's just, you know, this isn't about her. It's about what she believes, and she believes that it's the responsibility of blind people to be as independent as they can, and if they need a boost to do it, then she wants to help be a part of that, and...
Well, and the kids that she's trying to help really are the kids that would never flourish in mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably not even the School for the Blind, although we have a good school. But I think she's filling a very special niche. I mean, having her tell me about some of the children that they have that are have other disabilities or autistic or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing what she does. It really is.
I'll have to listen to the rebroadcast of the show to hear this part, but anyway, I just thought I'd give you a call and suggest her as a guest. I think people would really enjoy her, and also just discussion of what she's done with Braille, and we're lucky to have her, I'll tell you what.
Hey, before I let you go, you probably missed, just before I talked about Carolyn and the Spring Fling, I talked a fair amount about leadership.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Now,
I was...
Yeah, yeah. Now, this, of course, is Sue Amater, who is also a member of the Washington Council of the Blind. And you have been involved with leadership since year one, correct?
Yes. Actually, I was really lucky. After I stopped being president of WCB, I told Burl Colley, who was our president then, I said, you know, Burl, one of the things I would like to see us do is start leadership training. And so... The first year, I think Cindy headed the committee, but Burl said, okay, we'll put it in the budget and we'll do it. And every class is, of course, very different. I don't know if you said this. We've trained, I think now it's 130 people.
Yeah, I didn't give the number, but I think I said that we've done like six of them.
Seven, actually.
Seven, yeah.
Our first one was in 2001.
Yeah.
And... you know, it's pretty incredible. And every year we say, I wonder if we're going to get more people, but they always come. And, you know, the other thing that was pretty cool, and again, sorry if I'm repeating, but you may not know this, we had a couple of people come who are relatively newly blinded. And for one person who came, it was their first time kind of away from home after they had been blind. They were petrified.
Wow.
And their spouse brought them, but, you know, Cindy said, you have to room with someone, and she told Cindy at the end of the weekend, she said, you know, I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I could go to a hotel and be by myself. So, I mean, it's a very empower. Everybody comes with different things.
Sure, yeah.
And we've had a lot of people who are fairly newly blind who have come to it. Husbands and wives come. It's awesome. It's very exhausting, but it's... And Marlena, you've been on a couple committee 3 years, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
By Sunday, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, when I was coming home today, I thought, gosh, and I'm doing a show now. Whoa, boy. But, and you know, one of our participants, is someone who is pretty severely, developmentally delayed. She was a participant a couple of years ago. And now she's waiting to receive confirmation, of her request to be considered for the Developmental Disabilities Council here in the state of Washington. And I truly believe she would not have done that without leadership training.
I think you're right. And you know, but I'll tell you something else. You know, sometimes, you know how you tell people there's a board meeting, oh, I can't come because, you know, it's too far and blah, blah, blah. And here's this woman who comes on paratransit. She has to have an aide with her because she can't really feed herself and take care of herself very well. But she comes at the beginning and stays until the end.
Yeah.
And she's on my advocacy committee. And the last time we were talking, I said, oh, I can't remember what happened. She said, oh, that was on December 14th, blah, blah, blah. I thought, well, shut my mouth, you know. And today she didn't think she could come. We found a volunteer who pushed her into the meeting, which is what she wants, and who agreed to, you know, help her with lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, she can be there. So, you know, I get sometimes a little frustrated with people who have a lot more going for them. They say they can't remember sending their money. She always remembers to send in her lunch money.
Yeah.
So go figure.
And she was so empowered by that leadership training seminar. I mean, she talked about it a year later. Every time she would introduce herself at the meeting, she would say, I'm so-and-so. I'm a graduate of the leadership training. And, you know, and then she told us that she'd never been a graduate. She'd never graduated from anything. And that meant so much to her. And now here she is.
And when she was at the School for the Blind, they didn't teach her to read or write Braille. She can't really even operate a tape recorder. She doesn't have the dexterity. So, hey, guys, get off your, you know what, so don't complain is what I, and when I listened to her, that I was kind of embarrassed when I complained because, you know, the sandwich wasn't right or something really dumb.
Yeah.
But I have to say, WCB does a lot of cool things. I think this is one of the coolest things that we have done, and every year is a different theme, and you probably went through all this, but,
yeah.
You know. And we have our T-shirts, and it's...
Yeah, I told him about our raised T-shirts and bags, and
It's well worth the effort, and
the cool thing, I mean, there's many cool things, but one of the coolest of the cool is that typically this is developed, run, and organized by all Braille reading people.
That's true.
And I think that's a big deal.
That's why we get our raised T-shirts.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Anyway, probably everybody's going, do we have to hear about WCB all night? But that's too bad.
Well, we're going to get ready to go off the air now, so it's through.
So,
hey, listen, thanks so much for calling in, and now it's my turn to go get some rest.
Boy, I'll tell you, you'll love it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. That's my friend Sue Amateur here in Washington. And, that's just a little bit of information about WCB. And, you know, if your affiliate is doing something that you'd like to showcase, I am actually starting to put together, and I want to thank Jim Urach. And I want to thank Kathy Casey for contacting me. I am going to work these things out. Oh, we have one last call. We'll take it real quick. We're just about to go off the air. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
George Wurzel.
Oh, George, can you call me back next week?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a cool Braille thing.
All right, save it for next week.
Cut up plastic milk jugs and put them in a Braille writer.
I love it. Save it. Call me back next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We need to get out of here. Holy moly. But if your affiliate is doing something that you'd like to showcase, let me know. It's Marlena, MARLAINA @acbradio.org. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Artist Bazin, for joining us. Thank you to each and every one of you who called. George, call me next week. I want to talk more about that, putting plastic cartons in the Braille writer. I like that idea. In the meantime, you guys, have a safe week and be the very best you can be. Live each moment for what it is, because it will prepare you for the next moment to come. Thanks to the web team in Arizona. Thanks to Chrissy Cochran right now in Nairobi. And thanks to Gary the Board Guy for helping me put the show on. I'm Marlena. See you next week.